everything right in the tent. Coleman lanterns, camp stoves, sleeping bags. You didn't worry about anybody stealing it. But you couldn't do it now.
No, indeed.
No way. But we would leave everything there and never had a bit of trouble. Nobody never bothered our camps or anything. And then later on, I knew an old fella down here, got acquainted with him. And he had a cabin up in the Rainbow Mine. Do you know where the Rainbow Mines are?
No.
So anyway, we got to rent this cabin. We had this
tell
cabin.
Me where they, tell me where they are.
Okay. You go up, like you're going to Tony Bay's. And instead of going out around Tony Bay's, you go straight up the river. You go up to the Indiana Diggins. You know where that is?
No.
Okay, you go right up the river. And there's piles and mounds of rock and stuff. They used to have a, what do you call it, digger?
Dredge.
They used to have a dredge up there in the mining days. And you went up clear to the end of the diggings, and then you cut up the hill. We built new roads up there while I was working for Boise. But there was an old road that went up the hill there, and they had a cabin up there, this fella. And we got to use this cabin for 2 or 3 years. And we spent a lot of time up there hunting.
Are the Indiana mines and the Rainbow diggings in Union County, do you think?
Yes, yes they are. Yeah.
And what do you say is left there? Just mounds of dirt?
Just where this dredge kicked the dirt out behind them, you know. Well, these mounds are still there.
Does it look like the area around Sumter?
Yes, something like that. Boise built roads right through the Indiana diggings.
And was this on the Grand Ronde River?
Yes, right on the Grand Ronde River. Yeah, the river right here.
I'm glad to know that.
Yeah. And during these, where these mounds were, the Forest Service had their stakes set, and I could not go past them stakes because they didn't want to move them dredging. They were there for a purpose. They wanted to leave them for history or whatever. So I had to be real careful about not going past them stakes and when we're building this road through there.
As far as you know, had the mounds been built in the early part of the 20th century? Maybe in the
yes, they
1910s,
were.
20s?
I would say after the 20s.
Were they mining gold, as far as you know?
Yes, they were mining gold.
Do you have any idea how successful they were?
They were pretty successful for a while, but how long it lasted, I do not know.
You know the name? Was there a company that was doing this, or individuals?
Well, I think there were probably companies of some kind. Going up the road, there was a place at the top of the hill called, let me think a minute. I probably can't remember. Anyway, I'll think of it tomorrow. There was a roadhouse right at the top of the hill, and miners stayed there, and it was more like a hotel.
Say that a little louder.
I got this on him, and I don't know why. Anyway, there was a roadhouse there, and then on up.
Did it have a name?
Yeah, it's got a name, but I can't think of it. I'll think of it.
Okay, and there wasn't a town there.
No, I had it. Anyway, it'll come back to me. You go on up the river a ways, and you have to cross the river, and you went up to this another place I can't think of. But there was two rows of houses up there where the miners stayed, and probably another flop house, an old hotel. And why can't I think of that stuff? But there was a lot of mining went on up in that area in them days.
Well, I knew there'd been a lot around Sumter.
Yeah.
There's another small town near that. But that's not in Union County.
No.
And my impression was that there was very little mining in the 20th century, anyway, in Union County. But I guess I'm wrong.
Yeah, that was about the extent of it that way. I mean, there were a few mines on over on the North Fork of John Day. There was a few mines.
Yeah.
in that country too.
Have any idea why it was called
Woodley?
Indiana?
That was the name of the town.
Woodley.
Woodley.
Oh yes.
And there used to be a sign there, but eventually it got stolen down.
Do you have any idea why it was called the Indiana Mines? That sounds though it might be the name of a larger company.
Yeah, I don't have any idea, Eugene, why it was that.
I'll bet there's some county records on that.
Oh, I'm sure there is. I'm sure there is. Yeah, this would be.
So you were up there later building roads for Boise Cascade?
Yes.
These were logging roads?
Logging roads, yeah.
So did you operate a bulldozer?
Road grader. Yeah.
Why would you need to grade a logging road? I thought bulldozer would do it.
No, you got to keep it smooth. You got to smooth it up.
I see.
The Forest Service is awful. It used to be awful fussy about this. When Boise was going to log the track of the land, I would have to go in and blade the road up, pull all the ditches, make sure the road's in good condition before they let them log on it. Okay, then after they logged on it for a year or two and tore it all to hell, then I got to go back in and reshape it, smooth it up and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what my job was.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like I say, we built roads all over Eastern Oregon, clear from halfway to Ukiah, wherever they wanted to, was going to get timber from.
Mm-hmm. Was that hard work?
Running that grader?
Yeah.
It was like, I started this when I went to work for the state. When I started working for the state, the man that ran the grader finally got enough of it and he wanted to quit and go to another job. Well, there were three or four fellas ahead of me, but they didn't seem to want it, so they broke me in on the blade. And I used to have a man walking right alongside of me, and he would thumb me when he wanted to raise the blade. And he would do this to me. He'd done this for two or three years, and as all I knew, I was the steer of the grader. I didn't know nothing. So then he quits. So the new foreman comes along and says, Bill, if you think I'm going to walk along that grader and tell you what to do, he says, I got news for you. So it takes me five more years to learn this. So then I was there for 16 years, and I got real good at it. And then my cousin would tell me that Boise was going to start a logging site, and need a road grader operator. So I mulled over and talked it over up there, and I've got 16 years for the state. She said, what are you going to do? You've got 16 years seniority for the state. You're going to quit that and go to work for this five-a-night outfit? So we're so far in depth that we can't see over the head. And so I'd made up my mind that she'd bring her divorce me. But anyway, I had made up my mind I was going to take this job with Boise. So I did. And I decided I was going to take every hour of overtime they would give me to make it pay. Well, when I quit the state of Oregon, I was making $575 a month. The first month I worked for Boise Cascade, I made $1,000, but I put in a lot of overtime. So like I say, I decided I was going to take every hour of overtime, which I did. I put in many and many of days, 15, 18, 24 hours a day on that grader, plowing snow in the wintertime, all day, all night, but it paid off for me. And I love my job. I like running the equipment, and I love this road grader. And I started out with a brand new road grader in 1969. And I had it about, maybe 8 or 9 years.
That belonged to the company, didn't
it? Yeah, it was company outfit.
Yeah.
Then they got me another road grader, another new one. And it was just like a Cadillac. You had a nice chair to sit in. And you had a board up here where all your controls were. You could bring it right back in your lap, or whatever length you wanted to operate from. And
a cab that was heated and air conditioned, both?
It didn't have air conditioning, but it had a heater and it had defrosters on the window.
Uh-huh.
Luxury. It was Cadillac.
Yeah.
And when I finally decided to retire, a couple of fellas, Bill, you can run my old grader if you want to keep working. I said, hey, fella, I don't want to upset you, but I don't want to go back to running the Model A. I'm used to running the Cadillac.
Uh-huh.
I did work for one fella for a while, but I worked with two different fellas. But I finally decided, Bill, you got off that grader, get away from it.
The logging roads I've seen in the Cascades are sometimes very steep. What was the steepest angle that you ever had to grade?
Well, I've had, in the wintertime, I couldn't get up them. They were that steep. The road grader just didn't have enough traction. To, but have you ever been up on Mount Harris?
No, I haven't.
Well, I graded this hill up here, going up above Dorothy's and stuff. That's probably about as steep as you're going to get into.
10 or 15 degrees?
Yeah. The one over at Halfway was pretty steep, too. It was real steep. Matter of fact, I went up there to Water Bart one winter, and there's no way I could get up it.
At what point are you in danger of tipping over in a grader?
Oh, you can put your limb right on their side before you tip over. You can hold yourself with the blade. You know, you can put this... I put your tip over working for the state. It was up on the Starkey Road above where the Starkey store is. And they wanted to bring these banks down. You know, they were the high bank. And they wanted to bring them down, so I gets up there at the grader. And I kind of lost it. It kind of slipped on me sideways. And here I am sitting like this, and the diesel tank is on the back behind the cab, and it's got a spout on it, about like that, to fill it. Well, diesel is running out of this spout, so you know that I'm sitting there pretty cautious.
Yes.
So I had to have this one of the truck get up on top of the bank with me and go along and get me back up on top. Because I know had I gone on down, the bank was too deep for me, I would have rolled on. But that was about the worst I had ever gotten into. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't my fault, it's the idea the grader slipped on me and I couldn't do nothing about it. Mm-hmm. But
you said earlier that at least one person thought that Boise Cascade was a fly-by-night outfit. Is that the impression that people had when it started?
Yes, it was.
Why?
Well, I really don't know, Eugene. I never could figure it out myself, because I figured that Boise Cascade was, if you wanted to work, they would put you to work, and your paycheck would come in every 2 weeks, and everything was good.
Had it just been formed just recently, or before that?
Pardon me?
Had it just been formed as a company? Before that?
Oh yeah, it was. It used to be Boise Payette in mm-hmm. Idaho, mm-hmm. And they come down here and bought this mill out here from Stang. Well, no, it was Boise. It wasn't Boise Payette when they come down here. I can't remember. Maybe it was Boise Cascade when they come down here, but. No, I've always figured that the benefits were good. The pay was pretty good then, you know. This has been 30 years ago when I went to work for them. And I always made good money, and I had a couple of bosses that weren't all that great, but you have this every yeah. job you're on.
Mm-hmm.
It don't make a difference what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But
what do you think then was the key to Boise Cascade's success as a company?
Well, like I say, as far as I was concerned, it was a good company to work for. You had good bosses. They wanted you to work safe and, you know, do the best job you could, which I did. And I got along real good with the bosses, except one, but that's no big deal. And so I just loved my job. I just, like I say, the benefits were good, the pay was good, but what more could you ask for?
Did they modernize the way lumber is handled in mills? Would that have been part of their reason for success?
Yes, they have modernized this mill out here so much, Eugene. Like I say, lumber used to come out of the mill on a chain.
Yeah.
Well, you had to pull that out and then break it down and pull it off the chain. They come along with rollers on the edge of the chain, so all you had to do was bring their slide off by itself. And the stacking part of it, that has all been modernized. They have, like I say, they have modernized that mill out there. If Mr. Sang come back and look at it, he couldn't believe it.
So it's a much more efficient operation, I guess, both
yes.
from the standpoint of how they, or the kinds of jobs they give to laboring people, and the use they make of the wood.
Yeah.
I mean, they use just about every piece of it now,
every
don't
piece
they?
Of it, yeah. They have, during this modernization, they have lost a lot of men. They have taken a lot of jobs. You follow me?
Yeah.
So, like this wood that we just get, this mill wood, it would have all kinds of bark on it. But now, everything is taken right down to 4 inches, and they run it through what they call a debarker. It's water pressure, and it blows all this bark off of it. There is no bark on the trees at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes into the where they saw it up and everything. So, you know, everything is modern as can be. It is.
Do you have some familiarity with some of the other smaller mills that used to be around here?
Well, not really, Eugene. The one at Alisal, there was a mill there for a long time, but I never did get around it or anything. But I did, getting back, I did work for a mill up on Fox Hill for 2 or 3 days. My brother-in-law and I did. I don't know, they was on strike over here. We was out of work or something. And this was a little mill up on Fox Hill. And everything was done by hand. There was no... It was pulled on the green chain and you worked your butt off. And like I say, we was only up there for 2 or 3 days and we got out of it.
There was also a hill, I mean a mill, I guess maybe before you were alive, up the road, Morgan Lake Road here. Wasn't it on Glass Hill?
There were two of them on Glass Hill. Eugene. One at the 12-mile post called the old, Lewis Mill. And then down on Rock Creek was,
Were these mills operating when you were aware
no,
of?
No, I think they was
before.
About done.
Yeah.
The one down on Rock Creek, they used to have a railroad track into it from the Starkey Highway, and during the first part of World War II, they went back there and cut a lot of this stuff up for scrap iron.
The machinery
mm-hmm. and the old cars, railroad mm-hmm. cars. And mm-hmm. But they did have a railroad track clear to it up Rock Creek.
Why do you think there were so many small mills, and many of them located in way out of the way places?
Well, I don't know, Eugene. There was another back on Paul Farmer. He was a man from Arkansas or in that country. And he came up here and started this mill. He ran for quite a few years back there on Glass Hill. And it wasn't easy work, but maybe they thought it was easy money. They could get the timber for hardly anything. And I don't know. But
better than running a dairy?
Huh?
Better than running a dairy?
Oh, I think so, yeah. I think so. Yeah. Lewis, what was the name of that other mill? I can say I think it was small. The one down on Rock Creek was bigger than the old Lewis mill there at the 12-mile post. Mm-hmm. Lindsay Mill. Mm-hmm. Lewis and Lindsay. Maybe they were brothers, I don't know. Yeah.
During the years that you've lived here, and the, except for the time you were in the Merchant Marine, you haven't lived anywhere else, right? Were you paying attention to anything about city or county government, politics, or the way government services were provided?
Yeah, I do pay a lot of attention to it, Eugene. That pisses me off.
It pisses you off? What?
It's because they don't run it to suit me.
Oh. Well, be specific, can you, about that?
Well, I'd have to think a little bit, Eugene, but everything that comes along...
Are you complaining about the cost of water and sewer? And
yes, I am complaining about it. It's not necessary. The city commission down here, they don't do things... it is like buying property downtown, buying the old Bona Camp building down there. They have no business buying that to begin with. This, they're trying to run a city. They're not into buying property. It's the same way as this is just my personal opinion now.
Well, you're talking about where the department store was.
Right.
Yeah. Of course, the problem there was that the owner set an outrageous price for it, and nobody else would come along and do anything.
Right.
And it's right there in the middle of the town, and it's an ugly blight.
The city had no business getting into your real estate.
Well, yeah, but you wouldn't admit that there are any extenuating circumstances for that building as opposed to any old building?
Well, probably not. Probably just, like I say, that's just my opinion.
Okay. Well, I'm asking for your opinions.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially over the past several years, not necessarily recent things. Has it been your impression that the city and the county were not doing things efficiently or were not making the right decisions?
This has been my opinions for years and years and years. It's not the idea they don't do it to suit me, but what I can see, they shouldn't be doing this kind of stuff. Let's get to the Union County for a minute.
Okay.
Union County had no business buying a golf course. They had no business buying a railroad without going to the property owner and find out about it. Two men can't buy this. I don't believe this is right. Maybe I'm mistaken. I don't know. But it's the same way with getting back to the city. They have no business doing a lot of this stuff without going to their property owner and finding out what they think about it.
Which property owners?
Me.
I mean,
the people that own property.
All the voters in
Union
County?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, like I say, that is my personal opinion. Whether it's right or wrong, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just the way I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this railroad is going to get them in trouble. I don't know. And we'll just have to wait and see, but they cannot spend $4 million just for their say-so. They got to come ask me and you what we think about it.
Uh-huh. Well, when it comes to providing electricity, providing water, providing garbage service, of course, that's in private hands.
Yeah.
Over the years that you've lived here, does it seem as though those services have been efficient?
Well, I think they've been efficient, Eugene. The old Beaver intake, had they spent some of the money on it that they have spent on these wells.
Where's the Beaver intake?
Well, it's a long ways away from here, probably 30 miles southwest of La Grande.
Does that come from a reservoir?
Yes.
It connects the reservoir with downtown, with
right.
The valley?
It was built 15 years ago out of old wooden pipe that had the steel wrapped around, you know,
mm-hmm.
to hold the board together.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized it would have cost a lot of money to update this, but how much money have we spent on the wells and stuff we have bought, dug here? And in the summertime, the water I get out of that faucet is so bad you can't hardly drink it.
Is that because of the Beaver intake?
No, it's because of these wells we got.
Oh.
You see the big reservoir up here? We used to have ice cold water in here all the time when we had the Beaver intake going. And we had real good water. It was good water. Then they started adding chlorine and crap and other stuff to it and getting these wells out here in the valley that I just don't go for, you know, they just don't suit me.
Quality of the water is
Quality of water is no good.
Tell me a little more from what you know about the La Grande Reservoir. Is that what they call it?
Up here?
Yeah.
Okay. The water from the Beaver intake used to dump into the reservoir up here, reservoir.
Who built the reservoir?
Well, probably the city or somebody, contractor. Yeah. It was a pretty good-sized reservoir. It was.
Was it a natural lake initially?
You mean back at the Beaver intake?
Well, that reservoir. I wondered if it was a lake and then they added something to make a reservoir.
No, they just, I think this was just a big reservoir, a big lake back there, Eugene. And they piped it to La Grande and it came out at this reservoir up here on top of 2nd Street.
Yes, I know where that is.
Yeah. And then they built another one. There are two of them up there now. And then they put the roof on them. But we used to have real good water, the best water in the country. And like I say, now in the summertime, you can't hardly drink.
Well, maybe the supply from the reservoir wasn't enough for the number of people here.
I don't believe that, Eugene. I believe it was. I believe it was plenty. We had plenty of
now,
water.
You're telling me, I think, that there's been some political activity going around here that might be questionable.
You hit the nail right on the head. Mm-hmm. Like I say, this is my opinion.
Yeah. Well, I guess you are entitled to an opinion like that because you've lived here for a long time.
I don't think so, but it don't. My sister and I get together and hash things out every now and then. My wife tells me, if you guys don't like it, why don't you go down to the city commission meeting and tell them?
Why don't you?
Oh, I just don't want to get involved with you, Eugene.
I see.
I just don't want to get involved.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's the way everybody is. You can't please everybody.
No, certainly not. And we do have to live together,
right,
where we all have different approaches to
that's
how
right.
we would solve problems.
Everybody had different ideas.
Mm-hmm.
You do.
Mm-hmm.
So,
what do you think is the worst thing that's happened to life in this valley over your 75 years?
Well, boy, I'd have to stop and think about that. The worst thing.
Would it be true to say that life has changed for the better, for the most, in most ways?
Well, I'm sure it has, Eugene. I'm sure it has changed for the better. Mm-hmm.
Living in a house like this is quite a bit more comfortable than the one you first lived in, I should say.
Well, I built it myself.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Why did you do that?
I couldn't afford to buy one to begin with.
Uh-huh. And you had the property
already. The property.
Yeah.
And my dad and I started with a 20 to 30 house here. Right after we first got married and had one child. And he was going to use part of it. He had a little dairy here. And he was going to use part of it for his feed and stuff like that. And we were going to use the other of it for us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, pretty soon, it got to be more than one kid. And then pretty soon, there was another one. So we finally had to take the rest of it. And all six of them finally wound up with two boys and two girls. And we lived in it all right, but it was tight, you know. All the kids lived in one, slept in one bedroom. So when I started adding on to this place, it used to be this was the end of it right here. It was 20 feet wide and 30 feet long. And when I started building up, I got excited and I got such a house now I can't hardly eat in the wintertime. But, I don't know. Yeah, we built it from the ground up. I had a lot of help. I did pouring foundation and stuff like this, but we finally got it done.
How long did it take you?
Oh, probably over a period of 15, 20 years, Eugene, to get everything done, you know.
Yeah.
We started on this in the early 60s. Matter of fact, my dad and I started on this 20 by 30 in 1948. And then, you know, we lived until we pretty much rented out a room, and then we had to start adding on. But,
why does Dorothy Fleshman call you the unofficial mayor of Old Town?
Probably, Eugene, because I'm the oldest male in Old Town.
Are you sure?
Just lived here in Old Town for 75 years.
Okay. You've outlived all the other possible candidates?
I don't know who it would be, Eugene, that have lived here in Old Town for 75 years.
Mm-hmm.
One year she put in the paper, happy birthday to the mayor of Old Town. Well, God, I got calls and somebody wanted to give me a pizza and all this stuff, you know. But I think that's probably why it is. But I don't know of anybody that has lived here longer than I have.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. Maybe there is. I don't know of anybody like here in Old Town that's any older than I am, lived here that long.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. So that is probably three.
You said earlier that your grandfather didn't talk about his experiences, or at least you didn't get them written down or tape recorded. Have you done any study at all of people who lived in Old Town before you, or what life was like here?
No, I haven't, Eugene.
Let's say I think Ben Brown here came right around 1861 or 1862, and there were maybe seven or eight other families. Have you read Ben Brown's diary, by the way?
No, I haven't, no.
Well, you might you might enjoy that,
yeah,
because
that, yeah.
He described several of the things that were going on,
oh,
and
is
the,
that right?
The snow and
yeah.
weather conditions uh-huh. generally. But if you were the mayor of Old Town, I imagine you'd like to know more about what it was like 50 years ago.
Well, I know what it was like 50 years ago.
I mean, 50. I meant 50 years before you were born.
Oh, okay. Well, this name is just a name.
Yeah.
It's nothing else other than a name.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Dorothy's the one that started being the mayor of Oklahoma.
I understand. It's semi-humorous.
Yeah, right.
Yes. However, longevity counts for something.
There you go.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes. What do you think about all these other houses around you? Are they inspiring?
No, I don't care for it, Eugene, because it has made my property go up sky high. And we used to run. We used to go out in the backyard, and if I wanted to go out in the shorts, I could. If you want to run under a robe, you know, she could, but you don't dare do this anymore.
Grandfather Hoffman?
Yes.
Bright's disease.
Yeah. Mm. And that's probably one of the reasons that then nobody paid attention to this stuff. You know, they just, I can tell you, my mother and aunt sit out here on the patio talking that we'd had one of those things, why we really got some good stories.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't pay no attention to that.
Well, I thought you might also be referring, when you said those things, to health and health care.
Well, I don't know. You mean those, what thing you're talking about?
Well, one of the reasons that people are living longer now, of course, is that there's better health care so that people can be kept alive longer.
I'm sure there is.
Do you remember seeing a doctor ever when you were growing up?
Yes. I've seen a doctor quite often, Eugene. I had everything that come along when I was a kid.
Other than contagious diseases?
That's,
or is that what you're talking about?
That's what I'm talking about,
yeah.
Contagious diseases.
Mm-hmm.
I had everything that come along. I had a case of worms that was so bad, I had to take a tablespoon of sugar and saturate it with turpentine to get rid of these worms. And my mother would give me enema after enema to get rid of this stuff, and I don't know how long I had them, but it didn't make a difference what come along, I got it.
Now, what would there have been about the way you were living that would have made you susceptible to a case of worms?
I do not know.
The water?
Oh, who knows? You know.
Did a lot of other kids have the same thing?
No, I don't remember of anybody else ever having them. I know that I had them.
Mm-hmm.
I had them bad.
Mm-hmm. You said you went to the doctor, but it sounds as though you had a lot of home remedies, too.
Yeah.
Sugar with turpentine.
Well, then another old fella come along, and somebody sent him up here for something. His dad was sickly, you know. And he looked at me, and he looked at Dad, and he said, "That boy has got the sugar diabetes." So we had to start taking some kind of tea or some bitter, real bitter crap. And Dad took it too. I think he did have me take it, you know. But we took this for a long time. Whether it ever done me any good or not, who knows. But after I got rid of that stuff, I went on for a long time. Never had any problems.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about a visit to the doctor when you were young. What that involved?
Well, I would have to think through. Dr. Hahn was probably the first doctor I went to, and I just can't remember anything about it. Mm-hmm. Eugene, I really.
Do you remember a visit to a dentist?
Yes, I went to the dentist when I first got my teeth pulled. And that was my own fault because I didn't take care of them. I never did wash them, clean them, anything. And the first thing you know, if this tooth gets bad, well, I get down and get it pulled. And this one gets bad, well, that's how I lost all my teeth. Hmm. The only teeth I have are these problems here.
When did that start happening, the pulling?
Oh, probably around 1950, 51.
Oh. Not when you were still a teenager.
No.
And not taking care of your teeth when you were young, why not?
Well, that's a good question. Probably because nobody was after me. My mother was after me to take care of them, whether we couldn't afford the toothpaste or the toothbrushes or what it was all about, I don't remember.
Did your parents take care of their teeth?
Well, they both wound up with false teeth.
I guess they didn't.
That tell you anything?
Mm-hmm, it does.
So
I remember when I was in elementary school, there was a dental hygienist who would come to the school and brush every kid's teeth.
Was that right?
At least once a year.
Well.
And give other advice.
Yeah.
None of that in the schools here.
I don't remember any of it. Do you? I don't remember.
Well, if they did it, it didn't. You didn't pay any
attention
to it.
It didn't
pay
me, no.
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 Did you pay a visit to any of the hospitals, either of the hospitals here, when you were growing up?
No.
You were aware about both St. Joseph's and Grand Ron, weren't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when they was building St. Joe when we were going to school.
Mm-hmm.
They were.
Mm-hmm.
And the old Grand Ron Hospital was clear over on the
mm-hmm.
on the other.
Did they seem as remote from your experience as Ackerman School?
Probably. About the same difference. About the same difference. All my family, well, my mother and her and my sister all worked at the St. Joe Hospital. I did too. And
when did you work there?
Before we were married. I think before we were married, Eugene, my mother ran the laundry, and I worked out in the laundry washing, and
washing. You mean in tubs
running
or
washing machines? Stuff like, yeah.
Sheets, towels.
Well, they done all this on the mangle. When I got them out of the dryer, then they would put them in a cart and they would go to the mangle, and there were three or four women who run everything through the mangle.
Mm-hmm. What kind of a machine was this, the washing machine?
Well, it was a big, pretty good sized machine. What I can remember was wooden. Everything was wood on it, you know. Went around and around, back and forth washing.
Were there paddles inside?
I never did look inside, Eugene. I don't.
Did you have to fill it with water?
Yep.
What else?
Oh, I think it had an automatic. On. I had to go over to the hospital and get all the clothes out of the chute and come bring them over to. I had a cart that I went over there and fill a cart up, and I'd take it and dump it in the machine, and I had to put it in the dryer. And I took it out of the dryer in this other basket and went over to the mangle and then handle it from there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how long I worked out there in the laundry. And then one of the fellas in the hospital. I don't know whether Paul quit or what happened to him, but I run his job for about a month. He was kind of a handyman, and I worked at that for about a month. And whether he come back or whether I got itchy feet or I don't know. What happened?
Mm-hmm. Did your mother run the laundry as a sort of a concession, or was she on
a salary?
No.
She was, yeah, for a salary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if she needed somebody, she had to. She could hire who she wanted. You don't want her one of the relation or.
Uh-huh. So quite a few of the Lovin family got jobs there, huh?
They did. Yeah. They sure did. Yep.
Bessie Knapp worked there too.
Yeah.
You know her?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah. They used to live right in this little old house there I was telling about where the picture pump was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've known them all my life.
Mm-hmm.
I had her and all her.
All her life, I think.
haven't, because they used to live right down here on the corner, 2nd and B. When Earl and I used to walk to school, we would walk down to their place. She had 4 boys, and we would all walk to school together. Mm-hmm.
Bessie told me that there was at least one apartment house in Old Town. Would that have been somebody's large house that was converted into apartments, do you think?
Boy, I just don't recollect of it, Gene. I really don't.
I was visualizing an apartment with
yeah.
2 floors and like a motel, but
I
didn't think something like that had been in Old Town.
I just don't recollect of it. I don't know.
Well, she got married when she was 16, so maybe by the time you came around, she was gone.
Yeah.
She's 98 now.
Yeah. I guess she's getting along pretty good. I haven't talked to her boy.
She is.
Yeah, she's good.
Yes. Shall we stop?
Whatever.
All right, well, I'm just probing around to see whether...